Welcome to worship at Advent. You sounded pretty good today. Blessed be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us who know you now by faith to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. In it, God promises new hope for his people. Isaiah, the prophet, assures the people of God that their current sorrow and current suffering will be restored to joy and stability. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises up on you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on their arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning's psalm is on page 3 in the bulletin. Let's read responsively by verse. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son,
that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice.
The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall pay tribute, and the kings of Arabia and Saba offer gifts.
All kings shall bow down before him, and all nations do him service.
For he shall deliver the poor who cries out in distress, and the oppressed who has no helper.
He shall have pity on the lowly and poor. He shall preserve the lives of the needy.
He shall redeem their lives from oppression and violence, and dear shall their blood be in his sight.
Long may he live, and may there be given to him gold from Arabia. May prayers be made for him always, and may they bless him all the day long.
May there be abundance of grain on the earth, growing thick even on the hilltops. May its fruit flourish like Lebanon, and its grain like grass upon the earth.
May his name remain forever and be established as long as the sun endures. May all the nations bless themselves in him and call him blessed.
New Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. The good news of Jesus Christ is meant to be shared with and known by everyone. God's offer of restoration, revealed in Jesus, is for all the world to enjoy. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Galilee, you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew.
Lord, glory to you.
I'm reading from the second chapter, starting at verse 1, and this is the story of the coming of the Magi, and it's filled with political intrigue. and the current ruler Herod, while he doesn't build a wall, comma, the audience laughs, he does want to build a hedge of protection around himself to make sure that the one who is born, the coming Messiah, would not want to supplant him in Jerusalem. So it's fascinating to hear, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." I want to stop there just for a second. By reading this, we can imply that what happened in the fields outside of Bethlehem when the angels appeared and Mary and Joseph going to the stable to have their child, none of that was known in Jerusalem. That hadn't been broadcast yet. So now we hear this important part of the story continue in verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Gospel of the Lord. This is a season of new beginnings, and just before I begin, I want to share with you an insight I had this week. I took home two poinsettias that I had purchased early on, and I loved them in the house. They added color, and I learned something Friday morning. It is appropriate to water poinsettias. So when I came in this morning and saw how beautiful the flowers still were, someone has taken care of it here. And I promise you, it wasn't me. So if you learn nothing else from today, make sure you water your poinsettias at home. But I want to speak on the concept of new beginnings. We sang with we opened the service with We Three Kings, the story of three astrologers understanding that something amazing had happened that was going to change the world. And we heard from the Old Testament reading in Isaiah 60 that change was coming and that there would be restoration of some of the promises of God that had seemed as though they had gone away, but that for the people of Israel, there'd be restoration. So new beginnings are a part of our lives. And as we begin this year, I want to talk about new beginnings, the implications, what it means for you, hopefully to help you think about what changes might be appropriate or in the offing for you. My brother and I for years have belonged to a health club. And one of the things that you learn every January is it's a terrible time to go and work out because that's when people buy new memberships and make new resolutions. I'm going to get more fit this year. And what we have found out, if you just skip the first couple of weeks and walk at home around the block, by the middle of January, the health club will be cleared out again. But it's a good intention. I learned this week, I love this, that the first Sunday in January, which is today, is the peak activity for online dating. Isn't that interesting? That's why I couldn't get online this morning. Next Friday is called First Date Friday because of all the people that go online, find a match, and have their first date on Friday. So just a little bit of tidbits for you that have no relevancy to anything, but I find fascinating. So I want to speak about change and new beginnings. A big theological word for Father God that describes him is the word omnipotence, that he's all-powerful, that he can move in ways that are incredible because he's the creator. And one of the things that to me is so important is to grasp that as he was, he is. As he did, he will again. And to me, that's an important aspect of how we look at our lives. I want to read you from Isaiah 43 a bit earlier than the Old Testament reading, starting at verse 16. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, that's talking about the Red Sea, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The omnipotent God hadn't lost the ability or changed his intentions for the people. What was happening among the people of Israel was that they had been deported to Babylon and other places in the empire. And it appeared as though God's intentions for his people was lost. And through Isaiah and other prophets, the Lord is saying, no, that's not it at all. Here he says, don't dwell on the past. It doesn't mean, and applying that to us, it doesn't mean that your past is not important or relevant, but it means that what I did in the past is over, and I want you to look to me now for what I'm doing today in your life. And that's what New Beginnings is about. A new year is like it's like having a newborn baby in the house that's going to require a lot of changing. When change comes into your life, your routine gets disrupted. And we see that many different places in the Bible, that that's a part of what life is. Change means things will not be the same. I want to take you back to something that I learned years ago in school, in the part of my education, which was counselor training. We learned a concept called limbic lag, L-I-M-B-I-C, lag. And the concept is, I'll apply it to beginning to be more fit in the new year. The decision-making part of my brain says, I'm going to walk at least a mile a day, or I'm going to go exercise for 15 minutes. And then I get up in the morning, and I look at all the leftovers from the holidays, and it takes a while to get used to the new routine, which is walk at least a mile or go to the club and work out. And it takes a minimum of 21 days for the limbic part of the brain to understand that there's a new normal. Now, I want to use a really earthy illustration to help you understand that. And this will only apply to you if you wear pants. The rest of you don't have to listen. But if you think about how you put on pants, you always put one leg in first. That's just normal. Try to do it the other way. If you're a lefty first, try when you get home or tomorrow, put your right leg in first. You will tend to lose your balance. It will feel so awkward. And limbic lag says, for example, I started a new regimen of devotional reading in the morning. And it takes a while to get into the rhythm of the new thing I'm doing. In a month, it'll feel natural, it'll be normal, it's what I've done for a long time. But for right now, it's as awkward as putting my slacks on in the opposite way I used to. And that's how what change does. This feels awkward. I'm not used to life like this. And I want to give you a couple of examples of major change that people have experienced just recently. I told you about my pastor friend outside of Columbus who lost his wife this fall. Well, I went and spent New Year's Eve with him, and just to have him have someone to talk to and reflect. And a part of what he talked about was how challenging it is to look at my life the way it is now, and how now I have to make plans for my children that my wife always took care of. It's not that it's judgment from God or bad, but he said, I need to learn to look at my life and family in a different way because now it's me. Now, he has help from adult children, but the five adopted kids are his. And so change happens. It's a new beginning for him. It's one he wasn't looking for, but believing that God was in his wife's death as well as in his present and future, he has to make constructive changes. Last Sunday, just a little bit after noon, I got a text from my brother that his wife had died. She had been ill for a while and had been in and out of the hospital, had had two life flights. So we knew that she was struggling, but Linda went home to be with the Lord just early Sunday afternoon. And so this week, as a family, we've been grieving. I've spent just about time almost every day with my brother, just being there as a listening post and supportive as he learns what it means to be, now he has two adult children and grandchildren, but what it means to be a family of one. It's not judgment. It's not a bad thing. There's grief involved, but there's transition from what he expected life to be into what life is now. And learning that I can find strength and comfort just in a different way now. So we spent a good bit of time planning Linda's service, which will be this coming Saturday. But it's one of those things that change happens. New beginnings come into our life. And we can do this and refuse not to change, or we can say what the word of the Lord said to the people in captivity, don't focus on the past. The past was good, God provided, but your future isn't in your past. It's a time of new beginnings. And the Bible is filled with examples of that. After the flood, Noah and his small family had a new beginning, learning how to live in a completely remodeled earth. The one good thing for them might have been that those irritating neighbors weren't there anymore. But life had changed. And it was something that God was in, so how do we deal with this? Abraham and Sarah had never had any children. God intervened, and one day, suddenly, their tent, which had always been quiet, now was messy and had a toddler in it that was making noise and demanding attention. Life changed. It wasn't a bad thing. It was really a fulfillment of God's promise and purpose. But they had to adjust and adapt to that new part in their life. Israel, after Joseph's generation, they had been in slavery. And they had no freedom. God intervened, brought in Moses, led the people out, and they struggled for a whole generation to learn what it means to be free. Huge transitional change. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, for a generation they had been nomads in the desert where God provided for everything. They crossed the Jordan and suddenly they were warriors and they were farmers. They had to, pardon me, they had to learn to provide for themselves. a huge change, learning again what it means to grow crops rather than expecting it to come from heaven. David had sinned and repented of adultery. God gave him a new beginning. It's a powerful reality. When Jesus came and established the new covenant, it's an opportunity for a new beginning every day. One of the things to me that is so astounding about the gospel that we live and proclaim is that the guilt that had been in my life has been eradicated. It's a thing of the past. And the Lord says in Isaiah 43, don't focus on the past, it's over. And through Jesus, we can say it's been dealt with. The impact on your life is over. In the book of Lamentations, in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Every morning is a new beginning. And let's say that you made a resolution to be more healthy and more fit in this new year, but you've already blown it the last 2 days. Start it over tomorrow, because his grace is new every morning. That's the joy of a new beginning and making changes in your life for the better, for the future that God has for you. One day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow. We're not there yet. Until then, every day is a chance to start over again, to say, Lord, I don't understand everything that's happening, but I trust you. So in anticipation of the fact that you are doing a new thing in my life, I don't want to disqualify myself from that. I want to walk with you and be responsible for how I live and what I do with my life. In that chapter 43 of Isaiah, forget what happened before. Don't dwell on the past. And thinking about the people who were in captivity, that was a seed of hope that brought a tremendous change in the way that they looked at the potential for their future. The Lord hadn't changed. He was still the omnipotent one. It just felt like their life was out of control. Now, applying that to Advent, talk about you as an individual, apply it to the church. Advent has had a great history of being and having an impact in the community, about sharing the gospel in the community as well as overseas. But here's the thing. Advent's future is not in the past. It's up ahead. And so out of Isaiah 43, don't dwell on the past, but rather ask the question, Lord, what is your call and purpose for us today and for tomorrow? Rather than trying to corral what used to be, I believe the call of God is, let's see what God, the Omnipotent One, wants to do through this body today and tomorrow. And it may require a change in behavior. It may require you being uncomfortable with some of the things that you see. Remember limbic lag. Your tradition is wonderful, but what if God calls for a change in how you do things? Can you deal with that? Can you learn to put on your slacks in the opposite way you used to? It's not a real substantial change. It's just a change in methodology. He says, don't dwell on the past. God wants to do a new thing in our lives. One of the things that I was told a long time ago when I was a new Christian about reading the Bible, that it's so important that you get God's fresh word for today and not rely on what he told you last year or 5 years or 10 years ago. In the same way that his grace is new every morning, so is his word by the Holy Spirit, that he will speak to you to give correction and encouragement, not for what used to be, but for what is today. It changes everything. So I encourage you with the promise that with God, the Omnipotent One, the best ever that he has for you is still up ahead. While there have been tremendous provisions and blessing in the past, the future is even better because of what he has planned for here and for eternity. A little bit earlier in Isaiah 43 in verse 5, "Don't fear, for I'm with you." And then it continues. It sounds a lot like Isaiah 60. "I will bring your offspring from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." The concept being that Israel had been scattered among the known world because of their unfaithfulness. And now the promise of the Lord is, "I will bring back what you thought you had lost." But that requires, like for Abraham and Sarah, it requires for you to allow for messiness and noises in your dwelling that you hadn't heard for a long time. It means that things will look different, but change in looking toward to the future is a good thing because it's a promise of God's restoration and beginning to move in a new way in your life. So I encourage you, as you reflect on your own life, as you think about the ministry of Advent, that the Lord isn't finished with you, and his mercy for you personally and for the ministry is new every morning. I love waking up, and I don't love waking up, but I wake up early and ask the question, "Lord, what do you have for me today?" Ask that question, "Lord, what do you have for me today?" It's not going to be the same as yesterday. I may need to learn a new skill, but because I know that you're in it, I'm open for change and for going in a new direction to more fully fulfill the purpose of God for my life in this generation. And I thought I heard from the back someone softly say, "Amen."
Amen.
I thought so. Let's stand together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Our corporate prayers this morning are on page 6 in the bulletin. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. And we invite you to take the bulletin home with you and pray for those in our Advent community whose names are on the back. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Join with me in this final prayer. O God, who inspired your apostles in Jerusalem to pray and fast to discern your will, send us in the vestry of our parish your spirit, that together we may learn what you would have us to do in calling a rector and revealing to us the words and witness you would have us offer, that your kingdom may come and your power made known in our congregation, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Thank you.
So Paul shared a little bit of trivia this morning at the beginning of the sermon. The reading from Isaiah and his references to Isaiah in his sermon. I'm reading Isaiah in my morning devotions, and at the beginning of my Bible, it lists a timeline for when Isaiah lived. So remember the words that Paul spoke this morning in his sermon, the words that I read this morning from Isaiah 60 were written 700 years before Christ. 700 years. I get frustrated by what didn't happen yesterday or what needs to happen tomorrow, or I forget what happened 2 weeks ago, or I worry about what's going to happen in 2 weeks. And Isaiah was telling us 700 years before Christ what was going to happen. Actually, God was telling us 700 years, but through Isaiah. But 700 years. The other thing that came to mind as Paul was talking about new beginnings each day reminds me of a reading I'm fond of from C.S. Lewis that says, "Relying on God must begin anew each day as though nothing previously had been done." So whatever happened yesterday, however much you relied on God yesterday, how much you trusted him yesterday, today is a new day. We got to begin to rely on him anew each day as though nothing had previously been done. Thanks for the sermon, big guy. In 2 weeks, we will have the annual meeting, one service, 9 o'clock. We have clipboards that are floating around to sign up for potluck. We will have a potluck after the service. So the service will start at 9, annual meeting about 10:15, 10:30, and the potluck maybe 10:45, 11 o'clock, or maybe a little bit after that. So please plan to attend all three of those events and bring the potluck of your choice. Barbara Gage, I think, would like to say something.
I've been in touch with Art Beale many times since he's had his surgery, and he's having a bit of a time. He's been in the hospital, he's been home, he's been in the ambulance two or three times, and he would really appreciate some cards calling him, you know, whatever that you could do to just kind of, you know, make his day a little bit better, because he's really pretty, starting to get really down, and it looks like it might have to have another surgery as well. So if anybody could send him a card, call him, you know, whatever, please do so. Thank you.
So Barbara, do you have his phone number? Because I tried to call him and his phone is not in the directory.
Okay, I do have a number for him, and I don't have it with me.
Okay.
But what I have to do, because I call his house is what I do, and then his wife gives us, I'm sorry. what I end up doing is calling his house, and his wife will gets the message then that, you know, I've called and whatever. And then she'll get that to him, and then, you know, he'll call. Otherwise, I don't know how to get a hold of him too well. So
you have his phone number.
Yes.
But not here.
Correct.
So if we get that,
it's in the bulletin, I believe.
No, it's not in the bulletin.
No, but not in the bulletin, but.
Okay.
I have it on my phone if you want.
Yep.
Yes, please.
440-734-5526.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed his number wasn't here. When he was here, I said,
yeah.
Is your number?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Yep. Yes. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is we need to know when people are not going to be here. And in the case of Art, yes, he told us before Christmas that he was going to have surgery. So that's we're trying to use these as the listing of people who have prayer needs. So I mean, this is. The primary. It's good, Cynthia, thank you for the phone number, because we'll get that added to the directory. Pete.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Gentlemen of Advent, it is time to gather again, not this Monday, but next Monday, at the Harry Buffalo restaurant at Great Northern Shopping Center, which is on the Great Northern Boulevard side of the mall, at 6:30. This is the 14th of January. So good conversation, good food, and good communion. So please join.
We have poinsettias left. If you purchased one or more poinsettias, please feel free to take them home and water them, as Paul suggests. So I think after today, we'll be taking them down from the altar. After today, we'll be taking them down from the altar? Okay. So if you bought a poinsettia and want to take one home, please do so. We've been having Bible studies at the 9 o'clock hour for several years. Don Moore, of course, did a wonderful job of leading that. And right after, starting January 27th, we will begin a new series, The Church in Babylon. This is and there'll be more information in the adventures about this. This is a study put together by Erwin Lutzer, the senior pastor at Moody Bible Institute. The basic message is the church today is in turmoil and impacted by culture the way the church was in Babylon however many years ago. So it's a powerful study. It'll be both Bible study and DVD and discussion. So please mark that on your calendar starting 9 o'clock on January 27th. Today we will have intercessory prayer after the service. So if you have any names that you want to add to the list at the rear of the church table, please do that, and there will be someone to pray with you during communion. Peace.
It's the first Sunday of the month, and generally we recognize birthdays and anniversaries. Looking in adventures, I didn't see any anniversaries, only 3 birthdays. But let's check. Any birthdays here to celebrate this month and pray over?
My husband's birthday is 75 today.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I saw him. Anyone else? Yes.
Hi, my name is Meg Meckes. Representing my daughter, whose birthday is January 28th, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's it.
How old?
27.
When you're in your 20s, we talk about the age, yes.
Karen Edwards, January 29th.
Wow. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these people that have shared birthdays. We ask your blessing of protection and peace upon them. for this coming year, that you would guard and guide them and keep them in your hand, but also draw them closer to you each day. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Any anniversaries this month? Not too many people get married in January. The pictures afterwards are so brutal because you want to be outside. So let's continue. And I believe next is we're going to receive our offering.
Thank you.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in the multitude of your saints, you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses, that we may rejoice in their fellowship and run with endurance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I invite you to come in faith to receive what the Lord has prepared for us. We conclude with a post-communion prayer. Please join with me. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Folks, depart in peace, water your poinsettias, and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.